Well, let's look now at Auckland business bracing for another hit as the region moves into level three today. The restrictions mean all but essential services can remain open, and scientists are warning that the region may have to stay in level three longer than the 3 days indicated by the government. What does it mean for the region's economy, and will businesses cope? Our guests are Michael Barnett, the Chief Executive of the Auckland Chamber of Commerce. Also, David Norman is the Chief Economist for Auckland Council. Michael, good morning.
Good morning.
And hello, David.
G'day.
What is the impact, Michael? This is devastating news for businesses.
It is devastating for businesses, and I think it will be confusing for employees. So I think from the business perspective, you can look and you can say very light on confidence, you know, because they're in a rebuild, and a recent survey of ours indicated that only about 50% were back at 100% of operations, and I think 30% back at about 75%. So for them, it really is devastating. Their reserves are low, so the balance sheet is going to be a bit light for many of those smaller businesses. So this is, as I say, it's devastating. It's destructive.
The central city has been particularly hard hit and hadn't fully recovered its numbers or anything like it. Michael, how concerning now to be heading back into this situation?
I think many of the businesses that have gone through those first 2 or 3 months of various levels of lockdown, they adapted quickly. Many of them have gone online. Many of them have changed the way that they're doing business. But I think many will also be looking and say, if this goes beyond 3 days, I'm not sure that my balance sheet is going to be capable of withstanding another period of time.
Only essential services remaining open, just to clarify that, only essential services remaining open. We heard from Rodney Jones, the modeller, a little earlier, that he anticipates it will take 7 days to get a clear picture here. What clarity does business want, and when? Is it going to be better for the government to make its call in 3 days' time to possibly extend, or did they want a clearer indication now?
I think they'd want a clear indication now. You know, for me, we've been told for some time that there is going to be a resurgence, and that as a government they were planning for there to be a resurgence. And so I would think that most businesses would be sitting out there and saying, well, here it is. The test for you, the test for us, is going to be how we manage that. So in the here and now, tell us what the plan is, because that plan will give us confidence in the decisions that we make over the next few days.
Broadly, do you agree with the idea of moving rapidly in the hope of getting back to elimination?
Until such time as the government knows the background to these cases, it probably is the best step. And I have to say, I am no expert, but you know, if these cases had been in the community and they had been there for some time, you may well expect that this may have a wider effect than what we've been told already. So firstly, to understand, you know, be informed, and I think shutting down over a short period in order which to become better informed, I think is a good step. Telling everybody what the plan is in order that there's a sense of comfort and a sense of trust between government and the community generally, I think, is also an important step.
Michael, we're also at a point where the wage subsidy is due to run out, any renewal of it anyway. There's still been a lot of frustrations over things like managing commercial rents. And there was a perception that a lot of businesses would be making a critical decision about their futures, you know, in this coming few weeks. What difference does this event make?
I think the expectation of the final quarter for this year, most businesses were looking with an expectation that it might be fairly ugly. So I think, you know, when you have a look at the wage subsidy, That would be one of the areas that I'd be looking to government to signal early that they're going to do something targeted for Auckland and something immediate. Now, that would, you know, change the attitude of a large number of businesses. But the lack of that conversation, lack of that signalling, I think would be a very negative thing for the business community at the moment.
Thank you, Michael. And David, Chief Economist for Auckland Council. David, welcome again. What do we know from last time we were in level three and higher of the impact on business and economic activity in Auckland?
That's a great question. I mean, I think there's a lot that we have learned by going through the fire the first time, which will perhaps put us in good stead as we try and tackle it this time around. I mean, let's not trivialise this. Our estimates are that we've lost 25 to 30,000 jobs in Auckland over the last few months. These are real people who have lost their livelihoods. We've seen debt rise, obviously, for central government through a whole lot of stimulus that they've thrown at this, wage subsidies and other support, and it's had costs for Auckland Council in terms of reduced revenues for us. That's well known. But I think there's also, you know, a few things that we can use to help us. I think the fact that we were surprised last time at how much economic activity could still continue under level three. We thought it might be even less. My estimate is still that every day we spend in lockdown at level three costs us $60 to $75 million in lost GDP in Auckland alone. So it's not somewhere we want to be, but that's lower than estimates that we had early on in the process.
How long is doable, and I put that in very much in inverted commas, before there's a real impact? Like, if it's 3 days or if it's 7 days, as our modeller was suggesting, and there's a sense that there's a control of this, what's the difference between that and something that leads to a longer lockdown?
Yeah, I mean, that's the million-dollar question. I'm an economist, and economists, it's a little bit technical, but we say we operate at the margins, right? Everything's at the margins. So, you know, we might look at it and say, oh, the government said it's really only sort of 2.5 days. Will they extend it? We don't know the answer to that. I mean, it seems to me that it's very likely that it would be. I don't know how much you can learn in 2.5 days, but I'm not an expert in epidemiology, so I won't pretend to be. But at the margins, today, there will be businesses thinking, how do we make it through the next 3 days? There will be businesses immediately affected by that, maybe not large numbers, but if that extends, it will be a larger number, you know, with each passing day. So we saw that the first time round. There was a lot of uncertainty. We managed to come down through the levels, you know, faster than I think anyone anticipated. But my view since early April was, you know, there's no way you lock down a city or a country for, say, 6 months or 12 months, as some were talking about at the time. That's simply economically unsustainable. So, you know, my worst case scenario in terms of lockdown would be that we have one more round that replicates what we came through last time. And if you're not able to get the virus under control, that's when you start making very difficult decisions about lives versus livelihoods. And you probably begin to pursue a model more like we've seen elsewhere with varying results.
The question of unemployment obviously is confused at the moment because of the perverse result, in a way, that came out of the latest figures. We know it is higher than that headline figure.
Right.
We know there's been a big loss of hours worked as well. And some of the bank economists have said, look, we're still picking unemployment nationally at X rate, but we've just pushed back.
That's right.
What's your projection for Auckland?
Yep. So I would say that unemployment in Auckland now is actually somewhere between 5.5% and 6%. The good news is that prior to last night's announcement, you know, things were looking a lot less pessimistic than they were. So we were at 4% pre-COVID, the lowest unemployment we'd had since before the GFC. Early days, we were thinking unemployment could go to 10 or above. We prior to last night's announcement, we were saying probably we'll be peaking at 7 or 8% by the end of the year or going into early next year. So what that means in practical terms is we were really only about halfway through the pain as it was, because we reckon we're at about 5.5 going to 7. That's halfway through the pain of job losses here. Of course, with what's happened now, if that extends for any period of time, you'd need to push that unemployment number up a bit more again.
If this does pick up and we are into a more prolonged event for Auckland, possibly wider, but let's focus on Auckland, is it going to require a rethinking of the current support settings? What is it that would sustain truly viable businesses?
Yeah, that's a crazy difficult question to answer, of course. So, you know, we've had various types of support. Michael's just been talking about the wage subsidy. Obviously, that's been a huge support to a number of businesses in keeping people employed and has helped to keep that unemployment rate down. But, of course, you can't do that indefinitely either. And, again, prior to what's just happened now, I was actually really impressed that the government had drawn a line in the sand on that, even though that would have been very difficult for some businesses who are at the edge. But you'd expect that if this does continue for any time at all, we would need to reintroduce things like the wage subsidy and be looking at commercial rents and other types of support. You'd probably also expect the Reserve Bank to come to the party again, as it has done so far, but in greater numbers.
David, what of the council's own balance sheets? We've already seen cuts to spending indicated, rates increases, there's going to be pressure on rates. What's the state of the council's own balance sheet and the implications now and if we have another outbreak for service cuts and rates?
So, again, I'm not head of finance. I'm not the CFO. So they're probably the best person to talk about that. But you know, in terms of the headline numbers, you'll know that when we went out to consultation on the emergency budget, where we had to revise everything because of wave one, we found that we had a shortfall of about $500 million in lost revenues. Now, you know, an important distinction between, say, government and private sector businesses is if private sector businesses take a hit like that, and it ruins their business, maybe the day comes when they say we have to cease operating. Governments obviously don't have that option. We still have to collect the rubbish. You know, the roads still have to work, those sorts of things. And so those costs don't go away. So we've been hit with that. But that emergency budget we came up with during lockdown, not having certainty about how long we were being there, would be there, we had to be quite conservative. And so we had to, overestimate the hit, perhaps, rather than underestimate. And so we've been encouraged over the last few weeks that actually, things are still bad. We're still hundreds of millions of dollars further into the red, but things haven't been quite as bad as we thought. Of course, now if this eventuates in something that means we have to shut our facilities for a length of time, we cannot, process building consents or resource consents to the same extent, regional fuel tax if people aren't driving, all those things that that we rely on in terms of revenue to meet the needs of the city, well, that will be another hit to us.
Thank you very much. David Norman is Chief Economist for Auckland Council.